Episode 189.
You know, this industry is in an interesting state, and so far that, number one, the internet is changing it fundamentally, whether that's customer engagement or how to run a shop. But it also is so super fragmented that every business owner is forced to deal with 6-7 different vendors.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio. And a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to the premier automotive aftermarket podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. And today I'm with Uwe Kleinschmidt here in episode 189. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal-Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, I hope you've discovered the Remarkable Results Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. Now go to the App Store in iOS or Android, search for Remarkable Results Radio, and download. You'll have access to every new episode directly to your smart device for your archived listening pleasure. Hey, I love when you connect with us on social, like Alan Sobel, Stephen Nicole Moschella, and Bob Chabot, their new Facebook friends, and Motor Easy and Scott Waddle, new connections in Twitter, and James Presley, Jeff Scruggs, Seth Jenner, and Pete Rudloff for their new LinkedIn connections. Hey, don't forget to tune into our new live broadcast every Friday at 12 noon Eastern. It's called Town Hall Live, and it is a forum, a discussion with an expert panel. Each week, there's a different topic. I'd love to have you in the audience asking questions and chatting. But if you miss it, you can enjoy the repurposed videos and sign up for the live feed at remarkableresults.biz/live. Hey, love to have you join into the talk. Now, meet Uwe Kleinschmidt, founder and CEO of AutoVitals. Uwe has a strong aftermarket and technology background, having worked for Bosch as a vice president. Now, our conversation went into a broad range of topics to include the next frontier of shop measurements, the service advisor's value to the overall business, what's going on with Google searches, unbillable time in the shop, what percentage of recommendations from a technician are sold to the customer, and seamless integration, among many, many other topics. It's an enjoyable conversation and heavy with wisdom and insights. You may just want to get out a pen and paper because this is a noteworthy interview. Now, here's Uwe Kleinschmidt. A warm welcome to Uwe Kleinschmidt from AutoVitals. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm just great. Well, we had a great pre-call, and I never took so many notes, and I was so impressed with all the things you've done, and now you're heading up AutoVitals. How did you go from Bosch to AutoVitals?
The long story short is, it took me a while in my life to discover what I'm really good at and what I want to do, and there was a point where we have it now hanging in our office. You know, life is short, do stuff that matters, and so I took the plunge, and so especially after I met with a few entrepreneurs who had done it successfully or not successfully, and I thought, wow, that's what you want to do, and left Bosch, well-paid VP position, and started from scratch, didn't pay myself for the first 9 months, and one person 7 years ago is how it started, and now we are about 70 employees and contractors and stuff worldwide.
As an entrepreneur, which you absolutely exemplify, you had this, if you will, dollar and a dream of changing the world somehow. What was that? What was the impetus on day one why you decided to work 9 months without a paycheck?
Money is needed, but it's not making you happy. I know it's a cliche, but if you have people surrounding you help you, then you can start a dream like this. And while we were doing work in the field at Bosch, so I used to run the telematics business unit, and we would talk to a lot of shop owners on the diagnostic side. I discovered something which then got, you know, re-encouraged by some TED Talks I heard, and that is a lot of technicians, you know, are really great people, work with their hands, and, you know, our school system, no matter whether it's in Germany or in the US, disadvantages them. And so I started feeling a compassion to help them. And when I saw what Google is doing, and and the telematics background, I thought, wow, just look at the opportunity to have the two things independence of going for them above anything else is proximity to the customer, right? And customer service. And if you could leverage that and put it into the digital age, I thought that's a reason to found a company.
So you saw a need out there and you tried to fill it. Where did you come up with your research on moving forward with AutoVinyls?
So it's a rocky story, but there was one incident I will never forget, and that is a shop here in town. They still take care of our cars. I witnessed how the Yellow Page rep went into the shop and tried to sell them the next year of a full page ad for $1,500 a month. And I thought, crazy, to myself. And then I said,
Wait a minute. Were you saying, how can I get a piece of that $1,500?
First thing I thought, why would anybody pay that?
Okay, right. Yeah.
Because print is, we're talking now 2008. Print is outdated. Mm-hmm. It was already, in my opinion. And then I said, Selden, shop owner's name, how many cars do you get through this? And he said, four. And I did the math with his average ticket. And I thought, you need repeat visits to make money. Why do you do this? Right? And throughout that conversation, I thought, wow, if we could do the same thing with Google and beat it, then that's the first killer app. And I said, Selden, can I take care of your Google Places listing? I don't know what it was called at that time. They change every month the name of it. And voila, after about 6 months, we were able to produce 15 customers a month for a fraction of the $1,500. So that was one thing which was really exciting, right? And then the other thing was the telematics piece. My dream was, you know, do what OnStar did just better, right? And so we had prototypes running. You know, it's really funny and sad at the same time that now 7 years later, all the solutions out there which are trying to attract customers are still at the same level of technology. I had to abandon this path because 2008 is probably not a year everybody remembers very in good stance, so to speak. So we didn't have millions of investor money. We were bootstrapping. And so there was no way that with this early adopter technology and telematics, we would find in 2008 somebody who wants to buy our stuff. So we just put it on the back burner.
Is it still there?
It is there. We could activate it, but I have now strong reasons to believe that the current solutions are not sticky enough.
Got it.
And the short version of it is, I wrote a blog post about it. The short version of it is you have to give relevant value to the motorist. If you don't do that on a weekly basis, you cannot charge for it.
Well, I would love to go down that road right now, but I got some other really burning things I'd love to know
sure.
about. And so you're a visionary, and that's how I look at what you did by leaving Bosch and getting out into the right. into the world. Is it hard for you to share with other people what you see was your vision and where you actually see it heading now? Do you have to dumb it down, or do people get what you're saying?
That's a really interesting question because I'm an engineer by trade, if you haven't noticed. And engineers think in general, facts speak for themselves. Why do you need a person getting the facts across, right? So from the beginning, you know, you could not have put me in front of people. No way,
right?
And that has changed over time because once you have a passion and you try to change, then you cannot do it by yourself. You have to inspire other people, and that took me a while, I have to say, right? So, but it's just like kids learn a foreign language, and I say that because, you know, I watched it firsthand when we arrived in the U.S. in 2000, our kids didn't know anything concerning English, right? And our son was thrown into elementary school back in Ann Arbor in Michigan and was an old school teacher. And he said, welcome to class, Carl. We are not going to do anything special for you. By the way, you have to write an essay every weekend. And that's how life started for him. That's another interesting story. But you grow with your challenges. If you don't give up, you're going to discover things about yourself which are amazing, right? Amazing. And so, like I said, life is short. Do stuff that matters just also means, you know, just, you know, sometimes you have to cross a line to find out where the line is.
Are you doing the things today that are uncomfortable for you, or have you hired people to do them for you?
No, I'm probably still in that position, and I love it. You know, actually, right now we're going through a defining of core values of the company. Let's say refining them. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, with my germlish expressed, you know, be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you're permanently uncomfortable, that's a good thing. I mean, it might sound crazy and weird for a lot of people, but if you are permanently forced to think on a dime, turn on a dime, you know, adjust to the situation, right? You get used to it. And I went through things in my life which were permanently changed, whether that's experience the wall came down, right? I grew up behind the wall, going from, you know, big cities and small to small villages, going from the university to, you know, big industry, founding a company, learning a language. It's fun. And like I said, I have to really repeat, I learned from our kids more probably than they learned from us, and they don't know it. And because of they're not afraid of making mistakes. We think too much, right? We are trying, is that the right thing? And they just do it, and then, oops, didn't work, so must be wrong, let's try something else.
So do you feel that if you don't make a couple of mistakes a week, you're not failing forward?
That's correct.
And is that part of the culture of the business?
That is what we're trying to do. It's not easy, right? You know, so there's one thing, if you make the same mistake twice, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You don't learn, right? So it's not an encouragement of making mistakes. It's an encouragement of chartering the unknown, right? And deal with the unexpected. And then mistakes happen if you do something new anyway. And now the big thing is, how do you deal with that? And I'm not claiming we have found the way how to do it right, but it gets really interesting if you have the ability to question yourself constantly, right? And I believe that whether that's in business or in life, you know, I went into triathlon and finished an Ironman. I had no idea that's even possible, right? So you discover while doing those things what you're capable of, and that's the fun part.
The Ironman. When'd you do that?
2007.
You still doing it?
I wish I could, but...
Is it time, or did you break something?
Yeah, no, it's time. Uh-huh. I mean, I committed at that time about 90 minutes a day, 7 hours the weekend every day. And it ended up being, your body gets itchy when you don't train, right? So you have to do something every day, and it's fun. I would say the development towards the event to find out stuff about yourself, you know, where your limits really are, right? And I'm not claiming to have anything in common with those ultra marathon runners or something like that, but what they say is true. It's all mental. It's all mental. In the end, it's all mental. And if you are prepared and you can deal with the unexpected, because an Ironman is one of those events, you cannot train for the Ironman by training an Ironman, right? You can do that with a 5K and a 10K, right? But not with an Ironman. So you have to deal with the unexpected, the weather, the wind, the bike breaks down, your foot hurts, your stomach rebels, right? All those things, and you deal with it, right? One way or the other. So it's really, really fascinating. And I believe this has, Outer Wilds has to do with it, because, you know, there's a saying, you know, business is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I agree with that, right? And I learned also the hard way that I was always the no pain, no gain kind of guy, right? And if you set yourself unattainable goals, you might give up too early. Whereas if you set yourself attainable goals without losing vision of the finish line, you're way more successful, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Do you have a workout room at Auto Idols?
No. Okay. We, you know, you live in Santa Barbara. There is workout room outside, plenty all year long.
Okay. I figured I'd see you guys on your conference calls on your treadmills while you guys are coding or something.
No, we have plenty outside. So you see maybe on my Facebook page from time to time some pictures from the ocean swim in the morning. So those are interesting ways to start the day.
You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why. I loved one of your comments just a few minutes ago about feeling or getting comfortable by feeling uncomfortable. I think that's exactly what your quote was. And I remember working for a CEO years ago who said unstable equilibrium is what he was building.
Right.
So that, and it kind of, if you will, almost seems to be the same thing for you.
Right.
So let's go to your product and your customers. What unexpected benefits are your customers getting from all this technology you've been working on for all these years?
I mean, it started with, which is now, you know, run of the mill almost, people search and you can catch their attention by relevant information and drive them to people who can give them an answer to their questions, right? It still is changing and changing and changing every night. I remember the times when people would run servers in India to have backlinks to their websites just to get the SEO ranking up, right? Those times are mostly over.
A little over my head right now, but I am not surprised to hear that.
And what is the biggest change is, in my opinion, is how we educate ourselves, right? Education is in that pocket, in your pocket using the smartphone, right? I think it was 2009 when the smartphones had proliferated so strongly that you could actually in the search results in Google Trends see how educational information took over, right? So I'll give you an example. Searches for timing belts since 2009 have tripled. Searching for auto repair has stagnated to a certain degree comparatively. That doesn't mean we have three times more timing belts on the road, right? It just means people are now not calling a shop anymore to find out what this rubber band is good for, right? They're doing this themselves, right? On their computer in their pocket. And that's a big change. And our customers realize more and more that the experience they have through their technicians and service advisors cannot be enclosed just in their head and accessible through a phone call or a counter talk. If they are not bringing this out to the world where most of the people are now searching, right? Google shared with us 3 years ago at the SEMA show in a rare event of opening the kimono, so to speak, that searches for parts and educational information like check engine light outscores searches for shops by 30 times. 30 times more searches for check engine light, timing belt, brake pad, and so on than for auto repair, brake repair, Mercedes repair.
But does it mean that the consumer is getting smarter because they're more focused on a specific need than in general? And where are they getting that knowledge?
I think it's not even so much knowledge going into depth. It's more the search for a second opinion, right? If you call your shop and you get a price or not even a price, just a recommendation, you want to find out, you know, let me check what else I can find about it, right? Our customers told us, you know, a while ago, they get often customers who call and ask for a second opinion, right? It's a very clever and smart move. And now motorists can do that online. And that's what we think is the source of those searches, right? Huge change. Huge change.
I'm sure that in the electronics world, where right. I would go to, say, for example, Best Buy, do some research, do some online research. It's happening in every industry.
That's correct.
When we sit down with someone, we're smarter than we've ever been before, and we think we know the answer to the questions we're going to ask. We may not be perfect geeks, electronics. We may not be auto technicians, but we're closer to the truth than ever before.
We are and we are not at the same time. I don't know whether you know the State Farm commercial about the French model, whether you have seen that, where, you know, everything is true on the internet. So that's now that's now the new challenge, right? So how do you gauge whether what you read on the internet is actually true? And that's the beauty about, you know, that goes back to the expertise of a local shop owner, service advisor, technician. They don't run the risk of saying wrong educational stuff. So you have a certain trust in your local community. Just bring that out to the web. It's just another channel where actually people are looking, right? So that's the exciting part. And we believe you can take that to a level. We haven't even scratched the surface. If you're really honest to yourself, then you have to say that motorists want to have personalized information. So I want to go to a website and know this is the car I'm driving, and here's the information about my car, right? And that's the next frontier, in my opinion. So you're going to see experiences on websites where you can just select your car, look at your service history, and get recommendations from the service advisor, but on the website. You don't need to pick up the phone anymore.
Where is, Uwe, where is the... Is there going to be a truth meter ever someday to tell us that we're hearing or seeing the right or real stuff? Or is that just all perception?
I think it's all perception. There's no truth. I mean, you need a judge to say this is true, right? Who is the judge, right? I mean, look at...
But it goes back to what you said. If you're the pinnacle, if you're the centerpiece of your industry as far as an automotive service professional, and your site and the things you do, the things you say in your community, then your word is more is got to carry that truth forward.
That's correct. People will still look for a second opinion and find an internet website. Or there's this YouTube guy who tells you, you know what, don't go to an auto repair shop. You can buy the timing belt for $40 at one of the online sites, and I show you now how you can replace that in your parking lot, right? So now you have two opinions. One is your trusted auto repair shop who is going to charge you $450, and this guy says you can do it by yourself for $40. So what do you do now, right? So you still have to use your brain and have to use the information and compare and make a decision. And in the long run, if the independent auto repair shop is equipped with the right means to reach the people, we believe they will be the more convincing voice.
I got it. It's like self-doctoring is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's self-doctoring. Where do you see that trend?
Look, that's actually a super interesting example. My experiences with doctors around here have me turned into not believing anything they say.
Alrighty.
And do my education myself and make a decision about myself because it's my body. And it's not a car where I can just replace a part, if that was that easy. But it's not, right? So I had as a training to the Ironman, a herniated disc as a result of overtraining. And that experience with the hospital made me clearly believe, listen to the doctor, take it with a grain of salt, do your research.
Thanks. Great lesson. I love where we're going with this, but I want to flip this around a little bit, and I want to talk about capacity, and I want to talk about all the software that exists on our shop's computers today.
Yes.
And what you see both in SMSs and in products like yours, what's it going to take? Because I believe the answer is no one's using their software to a high capacity. They probably are using it to 20-30%. What's it take for someone to get true value for software that helps improve systems and customer relationships?
You know, this industry is in an interesting state, and so far that, number one, the internet is changing it fundamentally, whether that's customer engagement or how to run a shop. But it also is so super fragmented that every business owner is forced to deal with 6-7 different vendors, right? And so integration issues come up, and the user experience is different in each of those tools. And what I anticipate is, if this industry is not in its own way because it's not famous for being extremely risk-taking, I still believe that over time there will be platforms like ours emerging which allow the service advisor to have a much smoother experience and not spend their time, you know, running through menus and nested items. Just let's use an example. Do you know what the most time of a service advisor is used for during the day? Building an estimate, right? It takes 20 minutes to build an estimate. And that has to do with this highly fragmented way of software available. We believe that can be reduced to two, right? We will find out whether that's possible. But long story short, in today's independent auto repair, where the dealers are not better, to my knowledge, you have a lot of what we like to call unbillable time wasted, right? You know, the process could be improved. But in the end, it all comes down to the following thing. If you want to improve something, you need to know what you want to improve. Let's use the example. You were just made the basketball coach of a high school team mid-season. Team's losing all games. You're supposed to win one soon. What do? Right? Train harder, right? That seems to be a trial and error approach, right? In other words, you have to find out, you have to measure what's possible, where are your strong players, how to leverage their strength, and so you get your first win in, because you need the first win to get the morale up, to get, you know, fun back into the system. And in my opinion, the same is true for the independent shop. There are so many paper-based processes, there's nothing to measure. The only thing you can measure is sales at the end of the day in your point of sale, right? But how you got there...
The efficiency inside is what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the efficiency inside. So I give you a few other numbers which are mind-blowing. 66% of all recommended actions a technician puts on an inspection are not sold to the motorist. 66%. We know that because we measure everything for everybody who gets on our system. And that it's due to the fact that service advisors don't put all those recommended actions on the estimate, and they don't have the skills or time to educate the customer, right? And so that's mind-boggling to me, right? 66%. And if you ask shop owners, they say, I think it's even more.
Okay, sure. I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Gurus training, support, and get in on the rewards. And when you talk to a shop owner, do you see the lights come on? Do you see the eyes get bigger? Do you see them say to you, okay, fix it, make it?
Yes.
Okay. And, okay, now I have something to say about all of the integration issues you were talking about.
Right.
In fact, I can't remember if you just said 125 or in our pre-call, you said there's so many systems out there. There's 125 SMSs. And after I remember talking to you and hearing that a couple of times, I started to think about a book I read years ago called The Rule of Three. And it was all about the people that end up standing – at the end of the day, once consolidation starts happening. And I can't – the best example I could give you is in the drugstores, Rite Aid, CVS, and Walgreens. They say that there's always going to be three behemoths standing at the end of the day once the weeks go away, the weak ones go away, and consolidation happens. With that, with what I just said, do you see our industry with 125 SMSs going down that pathway someday?
Great question. Yes and no. There are two trends, right? One is consolidation, where the people with the best logistics create cost effects. I mean, look at Amazon, right? But Amazon is also an example for the other one, for the other trend, and that is our behavior changed because technology enables a new behavior. So you can create a lot of things through consolidation, but consolidation doesn't change any process. Just the three biggest who get the logistics down, right, and have the distribution, they're going to win. In our industry, what's going on is way more exciting for us, and I hope for everybody. And that is the way we look at this business has changed. And so I give you an example. I don't know of any point of sale out there which does not stop its activities at vehicle drop-off and stops at vehicle pickup. Right? There's no point of sale which has stuff implemented which starts before vehicle drop-off. And you know why that is? That is because 5 years ago, my explanation, 5 years ago, or 3 years ago even, the main business of an independent auto repair shop was repair. What's the relationship with somebody who has a repair need, right? It is, I have a problem. Can you fix it? Yes, I can fix it. Have a good day when you're done, right?
Right.
Out of sight, out of mind until I have the next problem. And that's what the point of sale is built for, right? So if somebody comes in with a problem that's vehicle drop-off, you have to manage until vehicle pickup, right? And it's a point of sale, just like a McDonald's point of sale, right? There's
every transaction stands alone, is what you're saying. And I feel no intimacy for this shop that I just went to, because the next time I have a problem, I'll find a place to go.
Right. And even more, I don't know how many shops are still out there who can actually survive on repair only. Cars have gotten better, more reliable. Average ticket goes up. Average visit frequency goes down. Right, there are clear trends which have to do with the technology of the vehicle.
Right,
and so we believe you have to start when people are looking for educational information, and then hopefully you never stop. You capture them, and then you stay in a cycle, right, in a circle, right. So even if they don't visit your shop, you have captured them on a website and can educate them, and then there will be the moment when they remember you, right, and so. Back to your question, that's a fundamental change of business.
Yeah.
Right? Fundamental change of business. And who is going to dominate in that space is still out there. I have no prediction.
Okay, so you're...
But there will be consolidation and there will be new players. That's the beauty about the new internet, right? You can get $50,000 from your grandma and found a company and build some software. Right, so nobody knows what's emerging next year. Right, you see even shop owners having their software companies on the side. They had the guts, right, and doing this, right, amazing stuff. Whether they get the distribution done, and then the moment they have to integrate with bigger systems to get more penetration in the market, they have to make a decision at some point and have to say, what am I, an independent repair shop owner or a software CEO, right?
Let me ask a real forward question.
Yes.
Next year, you're going to buy a couple of these people that are in your space.
Right.
And again, this is all being, a facetious style question to you, but...
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Would you continue in your mind to run these standalone, or would you figure out how to integrate them into a single platform?
The latter.
Okay.
I mean, it all depends. It depends, right? This industry, the software in this industry has one challenge. Everybody is trying to find a niche and then be the best in that niche, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's text messaging, whether it's CRM, whether it's website, right? We feel we are the only ones who have the highest coverage of those emerging companies, right? And if it stays isolated and the architecture of those tools is built in a very isolated and niche-oriented way, you cannot integrate them. It's probably faster to rewrite the tool, right? Whereas people who are right forward-thinking and build a little architecture behind it, it's just like building a house, right? Can you add on stuff later, or do you have to take it down and start over? This space is that is what makes it so fun, I have to tell you, right? So I don't think there is a prediction possible other than change stays for at least another 5 years, and we will discover new things.
I'll hold you to that. 5 years. Okay.
5 years.
So with your crystal ball out there and being a visionary, the digital shop of the future being totally paperless, where are the big moves that are going to happen in the next couple of years?
So the first move we believe in is the ability for the shop owner to actually measure what's going on in the shop. That's, for us, the absolute necessity to actually make another move, right? If you can only measure sales today, and even measuring technician efficiency is not really possible because ROs get closed at a different time when the technicians are getting paid, and boom, the number is wrong, and so on and so forth. So first thing has to be, I have to make an owner a NASA flight controller, right?
But you got to make them hungry for data, right?
That's correct. And present those data in a way that he can make decisions in a moment, right? So we have started doing that. We show now real-time technician efficiency on our dashboard, right? A service advisor can see from his computer where the technicians in the back shop are running out of time, where the job becomes, you know, unprofitable.
Upside down, right?
And give warning signs, right? Mm-hmm. Before, so you can actually proactively do something about it, right? So I think that's the absolute necessity, because everything else, you can have great technology and it's going to change a lot, right? But you should as a business owner know what you want to change it into. And the only way to do that is constant measurement and look at the trends and become a data guy, right? Number two, and that's the hardest, is changing behavior. So I give you an example. This whole digital inspection stuff is a technology, of course, and it utilizes, of course, motorists' addiction to their smartphone or to email.
Yeah.
But what's really going on is a process change. So in the old world, a service advisor getting the paper inspection, picking up the phone, starts the hand waving, explaining what he sees on papers, trying to educate the customer. Right, needs to chase the customer, interrupts the customer at work or home at some activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You as a motorist, you're not ready to hear this unless you were, you know, waiting for that phone call, which is rarely the case.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're busy people, right? And so now I have to get into this mode. Yes, he has my car in the shop. Okay, let's see what he has to say. Do I even understand what he's saying? Do I want to hear that in this moment, right? There's a lot of psychological hurdles a service advisor goes through, successful service advisors, to educate or sell. In the new world, completely different. You text or email not only the inspection results, but also educational information. Guess what happens? If you give them enough time, and that is less than an hour, motorists start on their time and their control educating themselves with that information. They're now open to read it. And you know what happens? The service advisor doesn't even need to call. They call first. You see how the process change works?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That is what increases the approval rate. It's not that you're now HD pictures and all that technology geeky stuff, right? Process change makes it happen. And that's the hardest thing to implement. You know, everybody who tried to lose weight and change his daily routine to do exactly that knows what it means, changing behavior, right?
Sure.
And sticking with it, right? And that is what we believe is the needs to be helped with and supported. So we put so much emphasis on training now, more than, I mean, if somebody had told me 3 years ago that the money we invest in training is what I'm going to do, I would have said, you're crazy.
Right.
But that's the way it goes. And And so we are, in the meanwhile, very keen on building a network of trainers which are not AutoVitals employees. They're actually our customers. So SmartFlow users who have been using it for more than a year and have been certified by our training staff. You know, by the way, Frank Sandura was on one of your, and he's our lead trainer.
Yeah, I was just going to drop his name. Yes. So you did it for me. Yeah. Good old Frank. Yeah.
And so we are, you know, there is nothing better than a peer explaining to you how to use a product right. and what process change, right? And that's the route we are taking, and we believe that's important.
Let me go back to something you said about data. And, okay. and the way you serve it up, it's an unprecedented way, new way to do business by having this data and serving it up right. I get a little worried that okay. if you don't have the right leader, you may compromise customer service, customer intimacy, because it's all about the numbers. And okay. and how do you see that balance of managing data and managing relationships coming to a point?
Good. Where do I start? Fascinating topic. Fascinating topic, because we hear that sometimes, right? We hear that, oh, you guys with your digital stuff, you make everything just about data and electronic. And no, I don't believe that's true. So let me start with the following. We hear always about the millennials, right? And their different behavior, and they don't like the phone calls and stuff. I have been listening to this now for long enough to say, number one, I consider myself a millennial, although I don't fall into that age category anymore.
You're young at heart, you are, right?
and what I mean with that is, it's not about how young you are. They just grew up with nothing else, right? So they don't know any other way. It is about how you collect your information and whether you ask the question why. Right? You know, in our generation, often trust is considered, you know, you talk about family, you talk about football, you talk about whatever the things are you build rapport around, right? And there's another way of gaining trust by being transparent and have the data available and present them in the right way. And that's what I think are the millennials about. And that is what it is about when you buy on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
You take human reviews, there's nothing data in it, and pick the one where you think this guy or gal has the same decision criteria as I have.
Yeah.
So I will rank her or his review higher than other people's,
mm-hmm.
right? You have that luxury with 500 reviews per product on Amazon, right? And so I believe this is just another way of communicating based on the same principles. You gain trust. That is what this is all about. You just don't gain trust by exchanging experience at the last Rotary Club session or baseball game or family stories, right? You do that around other things, right? Around your car. So that's my personal belief. So no, there will be no replacement of a human interaction. I mean, I know there are companies out there who try to commoditize this business. We believe the service advisor is still the most important person in the business, but we need to equip the service advisor to provide answers in a different way, in a different channel, and with more transparency and information.
I've just lost track of time. It's amazing how long we've been on here, and I've been sitting here absorbing everything you've said. Is there anything you'd like to just hit on before we leave?
What I would like to really encourage everybody is, you know, the digital shop, it sounds a little scary, right? Our tagline is, take the leap, we've got you covered. But it opens up, just like in life when you take on a challenge, it's very liberating. We have shops, customers who say, I have no idea how I ever used the paper inspection, right? So it's one of those things where once you get used to, you cannot even believe you ever did something worse in quality, right? And so I would like to encourage everybody to take the leap, try things, you know, surround yourself with peers who have done it, listen to them, do the training. Don't think you can do everything on your own, right? It's a little bit like when you bought a smartphone and you switch directly from a landline to a smartphone. You didn't start using the smartphone only at home or at work and looked at it and said, why are the keys so small? Right? You change your process. Right? You had now new capabilities in the smartphone and you try to use it. Right? And in business, this is important. You don't have much time to try it out for a long time. You should just talk to your peers who have done it and say, what are the top three things I shouldn't do or I should do, and try it. And you will see a tremendous success.
Great advice. Would you come back and we just like brainstorm more stuff?
Sure.
I'd love to. Well, hey, thanks so much to Uwe Kleinschmidt from AutoVitals for hanging out with us and bringing all these great concepts to play here. And not just about how to have a paperless digital shop, but so much more. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Carm, for the opportunity. It was a pleasure. Love to do it again.
Okay, man. Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining in. Wow, an abundance of great insight from Uwe Kleinschmidt. Now for an in-depth episode experience, don't miss the show's notes pages and additional bio information on Uwe Kleinschmidt. Go to the show's episodes page at remarkableresults.biz/E189. Any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, you may have an idea for a guest or a topic for Town Hall Live every Friday at noon Eastern. As always, thanks for your support. Tell a friend. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.